I appreciate Brother Mosley. He's been a good friend. I'm like him. I don't remember exactly when we met, and just some time back, and we became friends. I like to hear Brother Mosley preach, and he's preached for me down there at Countryside, and I enjoy him and his wife and family. I also had the privilege of meeting your dad before the Lord took him home to heaven, heard him preach a few times. In the years, I've had the privilege of being pastor there at Countryside for 19 years. I'm working on my 20th year of being there, and God's been awful good to us, and we're just thankful for his blessings that he's bestowed upon us. Brother Mosley, thank you for inviting me to come and preach, and I want to try to be a blessing to you tonight. I envy guys like Brother Mosley that can both sing and preach. I struggle with just preaching. But I'm going to give her a shot at it tonight, and I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Take your Bibles and open them to Ezekiel chapter 46. Ezekiel chapter 46. My wife and I were sitting on the parking lot tonight as people begin to pull in, and she looked over at me and she said, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "Yeah, it makes me nervous when I see people coming to church and I'm the one doing the preaching." And she looked at me and she said this. She said, "They probably don't know you're preaching." So I looked back at her and I said, "Well, thanks. That really helps a lot." So that kind of, you know, I love my wife so much. And she's always been such a blessing through the ministry. No, she really has. Debbie and I have been married for 43 years, I think it is, and working on 44. So I'm thankful for her. Look in verse number 9, Ezekiel chapter number 46, verse number 9, probably a familiar verse to you. If not, I pray it'll become familiar to you this evening. The Bible says, "But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth in by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it." Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us tonight as we look at his word. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being able to gather together here at this church. Father, thank you for Brother Mosley and his friendship through the years. Father, thank you for this church and for what they stand for and how they serve you. And Father, I pray that you'd just help us tonight as we look at the Word of God. I pray that the Spirit of God would move upon our hearts, and Father, that he would draw us into a closer relationship with you than when we came in. Father, I pray tonight that you would help me as I preach. I pray that you'd give me clarity of thought. Help me to be, understandable tonight. Help me not to be confusing. I pray that the Lord would give me the right words to say. And Father, I ask you tonight that the Holy Spirit would just fill me with power. You know my weaknesses physically. And Father, you know what I have need of tonight. So I ask you that you might supply in those things. And Father, when we are said and done tonight, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise for what you'll do in our midst this evening. And Father, we're grateful to you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want you to notice three thoughts with me tonight out of this one verse of Scripture, and I pray that they will be a blessing to you this evening. I want you to notice this first thought with me tonight. I want you to notice that verse speaks to us about people. The Bible says, "But when the people of the land." Now, if you have a habit of writing in your Bible, you ought to underline that word, the people, because just to be honest with you, people are very important to God. In fact, the Bible tells us that they are so important to God that is the reason that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, because of the importance of people. In fact, to be honest with you, it is the condition of people is the reason that God sent and his son. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says to us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That talks about the condition of man's soul, the condition of man's heart in its lost estate. And the Bible tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That shows us the importance of people to God Himself. Here's a verse that you're familiar with. John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Now we know that that's not talking about God's creation, although God does love His creation, but rather God loves the people of the world. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm reminded of the verse over there in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, where the Bible says that God is long-suffering toward us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'd say to you tonight that you're important to God. Not just you and I being important to God, but all people are important to God. It does not matter the height or the shortness of a person. God is concerned about every one of us. It does not matter the thinness of a person or the width of a person. I'm glad that God is concerned about every one of us. It does not matter the color of our skin. God died to save you and I because He's concerned about people this evening. Now, I believe that because God's concerned about us, we ought to be concerned about people. I believe the church ought to be concerned about people. And I don't just mean meeting physical needs, although I do believe that a church ought to do its best to help meet physical needs. But boy, we sure ought to be concerned about people's spiritual need in the day and time in which you and I live. I believe that we are in the last days. Don't you believe that this evening? I believe that all of the evidence of our day would point that we are in the last days. I don't know when the Lord Jesus will come again. It wouldn't surprise me if He were to come this very evening or tomorrow. I believe that's how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I believe we ought to be concerned about people's spiritual life, don't you? We ought to be concerned about their soul and whether or not they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now notice, if you will, the scope of the people that are mentioned here in verse number 9, the Bible says, "When the people of the land." Now that's interesting to me because God is concerned about all people, not just a one group of people. You know, I understand the idea of a missionary going to a foreign field, and they will often say, "Well, we are going there to work," and they will name a certain culture of people. Like I know of missionaries that are down in the Mexico area, and they say, "Well, we are down there and we're working with the Indian people of Mexico." I've often just in a joking sort of way said, "Well, are you going to let the other people just die and spend eternity?" Yeah, I know that that's not their intent. But notice that God specifically mentions the people of the land, the scope of individuals, and the scope of people that we ought to be concerned with. And so, I think you've got the point. People. Now, I want you to notice the purpose in this verse. Not only the people, but notice the purpose. The Bible says, "When the people of the land shall come before the Lord." There was a purpose that these people are mentioned, and it was that they were to come before the Lord. Boy, that's important in our day and time. I'm glad that you're here tonight, that you had a purpose on this Monday night. I understand that there's a lot of things that you could have been doing. There's a lot of places that you could have been rather than being here at church, but I sure am glad that you came with a purpose tonight. You said in your heart, "I'm going out to the revival. I'm going out there to hear a man preach that I know nothing about. I'm going out there to hear a man preach that I don't even know his name, but I've got a purpose that I'm coming before the Lord." So the people
were together before the Lord. Notice these two words part way down in the verse. Notice the Bible says that they came before the Lord. And notice these two little words, to worship. Now, I kind of got a feeling that we didn't just gather here tonight to play tiddlywinks, did we? We didn't gather here for a necessarily social event this evening, did we? We didn't come here tonight just for a fish fry. We didn't come, I mean, that would have been nice, but we didn't just gather tonight for a fish fry. We didn't gather for those purposes. We came tonight for the purpose of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We came here tonight to worship God. We came here tonight to bow before Him and to humble ourselves before Him and to worship our Savior, who is truly worthy of all of mankind's worship. So they came to worship the Lord. Now notice something else about this purpose. Notice the thought of the solemn feasts that are mentioned in verse number 9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast. When you begin to look at Israel's solemn feast, that was not their normal times of gathering to worship. It was something special. That's the reason it was referred to as a solemn feast. And in fact, there were about six different feasts which Israel remembered in the span of a year's time. I'm going to just mention them. I'm not going to take you to verses to show those to you. I'm just going to mention them to you. There was the Feast of the Passover. They used that to commemorate the Exodus from Egypt and all that God did in delivering them from the Egyptian bondage that they were in. It was a time that they remembered what God had done. There was the Feast of Pentecost, or also known as the Feast of Weeks. That was to commemorate the giving of the law. There was the Feast of Trumpets, which served as a reminder of God's warning before His judgment. I'm reminded that as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, that we are to lift up our voice as a trumpet and cry out and warn people of God's coming judgment. And I'd just like to remind you tonight that God will one day pour out His judgment upon unrepentant man. God will pour out His judgment. There was the Feast of Trumpets. There was the Feast of Tabernacles, or also known as the Feast of Ingatherings, which was a time of thanksgiving for the harvest that God provided for them. There was the Feast of Dedication, commemorating the reconstruction of the temple after it had been destroyed by the Syrians. There was the Feast of Purim, to commemorate the deliverance of the Jews from Haman, which was recorded in the book of Esther. Boy, what a wonderful book in the Bible, the book of Esther. In other words, there were these six feasts that Israel gathered together to worship the Lord on, and they were solemn feasts. They were special times, kind of like a revival. Kind of like a special Christmas service. Kind of like a special Thanksgiving service, if you will. Not necessarily at times that the church would normally gather together on Sunday and a Wednesday night to worship the Lord and to come before the Lord. We do that on a weekly basis. These were special times that Israel gathered together for worship before the Lord. I believe God's for special gatherings before Him. I believe that whether it be Christmas or Thanksgiving, whatever the day might be, it might just be the church's anniversary where the church comes together and says, we're going to have a special service of worship to the Lord and thanksgiving to the Lord. I believe that God is always pleased any time that we as His people gather together before Him to worship Him. I believe God desires that. I don't believe God's ever had a problem with us gathering together to worship Him, do you? Oh, you know, well, God wouldn't want us to do that too often. He wouldn't want us to be guilty of coming together too much. Kind of reminds me of the days of the early church where the Bible said, and daily. Well, we've come a long way from that daily stuff, haven't we? You mean we're having another revival? special times of gathering together. In fact, take your Bibles just for a moment and look with me, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter number 16. In Deuteronomy chapter number 16, and beginning in verse number 10, down through verse number 16, you see that God gives to Israel some instruction about these solemn feasts or these special times of worship. There in Deuteronomy 16 and verse number 10, here's what God said, "And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks." Now, I just mentioned that feast just a few moments ago as one of those special times that Israel gathered together. "And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant." Hey, Mom and Dad. The Bible, God said to Israel that when you come to that special time of feast, bring your children with you. Bring your youngins along. Boy, I wish we'd get back to that in our day and time, don't you? And, well, some of you do anyway. "The Levite that is within thy gates, and the strangers, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the Feast of the Tabernacles 7 days." I mentioned that feast just a few minutes ago. "After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and wine. Thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice." See, God said, "I want you to keep those solemn feasts. Not just the days that you would normally gather together to worship me, but those special times you need to have as well." And the purpose was simply this: come and fall before me and worship me. Come and fall before me and worship me. See, the problem was not that Israel kept the feast, because they did. But what happened with Israel was this, and I'm afraid it happens with us a great deal of the time, that the feast became a formalism to Israel. In other words, we gathered at a certain time every year. Well, it's the Feast of the Tabernacles again, so I guess we'll go. The sadness of that is that's exactly where we are in this day and time with our worship of the Lord. I believe that we as churches have failed to keep in mind the purpose of why we gather together. Why do we come together on Sunday? Why do we gather together on Wednesday night, our normal days of worship? Why do we have special times that we gather together? Have we just become a form of worship and missing the real meaning of that? You say, "Well, preacher, are you sure that's what happened to Israel?" Well, let me show you in Scripture how that God condemned their solemn feast, because that's exactly what they did. Turn in your Bible, if you will, over to the book of Amos. Let me take you to the little, what we refer to as a minor prophet. Although he's not a minor prophet, he's got some major things that God gave to him that you and I need to see. There in Amos chapter number 5, look at verse number 21. Look at what God said to Israel through Amos. He said in verse number 21, chapter 5, I despise your feast days. Now, folks, that's pretty sharp coming from God. Brother Knickerbocker and I, we've been friends for a good while now, and have had the privilege of preaching with him on a number of occasions in our past. And we'd often talk about verses of Scripture that kind of bite. I got a dog,
and actually got two of them, but I got one that likes to bite. He loves to play. He's still a puppy. You get to playing with him. Well, the next thing you know, he's biting. I've got a few bite marks in my arm where that dog decided that my arm looked like a chicken leg or something, you know, and get to playing with him, and he would bite down. And, you know, I, of course, being, never mind, we better just move along. So, you know, hopefully he'll learn one day to quit biting. This verse bites. God said to Israel, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifice and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Cheyenne, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. You see what Israel is doing? They are still keeping the feast that God said for them to do, but they've lost the entire meaning of what that feast was about. Instead of coming to God and worshiping God and God only, they were worshiping other gods along with him. That brings the judgment of God every time in the Bible. When you get to where you are worshiping other gods. Well, we're so guilty of that in our day and time. We put everything else in front of being faithful to God sometimes because we worship other gods. Let me show you one other passage of Scripture. Look with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1, and when you find chapter number 1, look at verse number 10. I'm just showing you how God looked at Israel's feast in the times of the prophets because Israel had gotten away from the real meaning of what those feasts were about. I showed you how those feasts were about coming before God and worshiping God. In Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye came to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Are you getting the picture? There was a purpose for them together. There was a purpose for them to come. It was to come before God. It was to bow down before God. It was to worship God. But Israel had gotten away from that. They had lost the meaning of what the solemn feast and the solemn assemblies were all about. Now, I want you to go back with me to Ezekiel chapter number 46 and verse number 9. And I want to show you the third and last thought out of that verse. Notice that Ezekiel has written to Israel. God has spoken through him. And he says this, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. Now, the thought of part of that verse is very simple. What God is saying to Israel is, don't go out the same way you came in. Don't go out the same way you came in. That's a very simple thought. God said to Israel, doesn't matter how you come in. You Yankees come in from the north. You Southerners come in from the south. Doesn't matter how you come in. He just said this, what does matter is how you go out. What matters is how you go out. If you come in by the north, then go out by the south. If you come in by the south, then go out by the north. Doesn't matter how you come in, but what matters is that you do not go out the same way you came in. Can I tell you tonight that it does not matter how you came in? Someone might have come in tonight that you do not know Christ is your Savior. There's never been a time that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into your heart and into your life and to save you. Never been a moment that you've asked Him to be your Savior. You can't go to a time like that. Some of you may be here and you don't even know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being saved, because you may not have ever heard the gospel story. Doesn't matter that you came in that way. What does matter is the way you go out. Christian, you might have walked in the door tonight and you know in your heart that you're away from God. You know in your heart that you're not right with Him. You know in your life that there's other gods between you and the God of the Bible. Doesn't matter that you came in that way. What matters is the way that you go out. You can come in, you can be as far away from God, and we use this word a lot. Well, maybe not much anymore, but it used to be used a whole lot when I was a child, kid, growing up in church. Preachers used to talk about being backslidden. And you may be backslidden tonight. You may be further away from God than you've ever been in your life, but you don't have to go out that way. Doesn't matter that you came in that way. What matters is the way you go out. So you and I need to go out in a couple of ways, actually about three ways that I thought of that I just want to share with you real quickly. I believe that when we go out tonight, we ought to go out in our desire to be right with God. You might have came in tonight and you know you're not right with God, but when you leave tonight, it ought to be your desire to be right with God. You know, one of the greatest examples in all of Scripture, I believe, of a man that was a friend of God, and God had great respect for him and great love for him, and he got away from God, is the man by the name of David, and he fell into sin. Boy, he got away from God. But aren't you thankful for when he came back to God, that God used him to write a little verse in Psalm 51, verse number 10, where he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Doesn't matter how you came in, but what matters is how you go out. I believe also we ought to go out tonight in our determination to serve the Lord. I've already mentioned that I believe we're in the last days. I believe it'll not be long before the Lord comes. I don't believe we have a long time to reach this world for Christ. And I believe we ought to be doing everything that we can possibly do to stay faithful to God in our service for Him. You know, I know a lot of Christians, and I'm not picking on anyone. I know this is going out into television land or internet land, whatever it is. I kid my church all the time that I never thought I'd ever be a televangelist, but I guess I've arrived at that point now with everything that's going on. But you know, I think that there's a lot of people in our world today that have just given up on serving God because of what's going on. And we really need to take some verses into account. Like Psalm 2 and verse 11, where the Bible said, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." I'm going to be honest with you. I'm more afraid of God than I am the COVID virus, just to be honest with you. I have a lot more respect for God than I do the COVID virus. And I'm going to be faithful to serve Him as long as the Lord will allow me to serve Him. Psalm 100, verse 2 said, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Boy, that'd be a wonderful thing if we as God's children would get a... We act like it's a misery to serve God. You mean I got to go to church again? We ought to be glad to go serve God. Ought to be glad to go and hand out tracts. We ought to be thankful to have an opportunity to witness. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's fun serving the Lord together.
Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, I think we need this. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary. Don't give up serving God. Stay faithful to Him. And I believe this evening that as we leave, we ought to leave in our desire to love the Lord more. To love the Lord more. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know you're loved. You know? I kind of got this inkling that my wife loves me. The only reason I got that inkling is because she stayed with me for 43 years. So there must be some sort of connection there. She hadn't stayed with me for my wealth. You know? She hadn't stayed with me for my looks. Now, when we married, I had a head full of hair. In fact, it was kind of wavy, like the waves of the sea. After about 10, 15 years or so, she got beachfront property up there, you know? And just, you know. Hey, a good day being bald-headed is better than a bad day with a man bun. Just telling you, you know? Just telling. I'm glad that she loves me. I'm glad that she loves me. But you know, when I begin to think about love, then I think about God loving me. Boy, what a love. You can't hardly describe it. It's beyond words almost. I mean, He loves me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And all He asks of us is that we would love Him back. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy mind. We are to love the Lord with our whole being, with all we are. It's sad that oftentimes in our world today that we're like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 2. We've lost our first love. We've left our first love. Well, I don't want to leave the Lord's love. I don't want to lose my love for the Lord. I want it to be there. The only way that I know how to do that, folks, is simply this, is don't go out the same way you came in. If your love for the Lord is waning tonight, don't go out the same way you came in. If your determination to serve the Lord is different than it used to be, then don't go out the same way you came in. If your desire to be right with the Lord is not what it was at one time, then don't go out the same way you came in, because you don't have to. You can make a difference and a change in your life in all of those areas if you will let the Holy Spirit of God have His way in your life. I have never ever regretted saying yes to what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I've never ever regretted that. Never had a reason to regret it. But there have been a few times in my life where I said no to what the Holy Spirit of God wanted. And I've always lived to regret that. I've always had to come back and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for saying no. See, don't go out the same way you came in. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bow before You tonight. We thank You for Your word. Father, thank You for this simple verse that You gave us in Ezekiel chapter 46 that encourages us not to go out the same way that we came in. Father, I ask You tonight that the Spirit of God would work in every heart and in every life. Father, I don't know what these people are dealing with in their life. Some may be here that do not know Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that they would not go out the same way they came in. But tonight might be the night of salvation for them, that they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray for Christians tonight. Father, maybe there are some here that are backslidden, that are wayward, Father, that are not right with You. I don't know what the circumstances of their lives are, but You do. And Father, I pray that they would not go out the same way that they came in.
Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to their hearts, and Father, that they would make things right with you before they leave this place tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God have his way in our lives this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand with me this evening, if you will. And Brother Mosley's going to lead us in a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart this evening, these altars are open for your use. I would encourage you tonight not to go out the same way you came in. I'd encourage you, if you're here and you're lost, to come and see Brother Mosley. And he can take the Bible and show you how to trust Christ as your Savior this evening. You're here, you're not right with God, don't go out the same way you came in, but make it right with the Lord Jesus tonight. Brother Mosley, would you lead us, please, sir? Come on, don't wait. Don't tarry. Let the Lord have his way in your life tonight.
Why shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, my God.
Don't go out the same way you came in.
Just the books that are in the boxes there, they're all books that are Yeah.